All right. Well, the piece that we are focusing on this month is the piece that begins with us when we choose to be a peaceful being in the world. If we want there to be peace on earth, then we must decide to make peace a priority within us. Martin Luther King said, "Peace is not merely a distant goal that we seek, but a means by which we arrive at that goal." Inner peace is the means by which we arrive at the goal of peace on earth. Now, inner peace is available, it's present for us to choose all of the time. It becomes an outer experience only as we choose to make it a priority most of the time. Through the thoughts that we intentionally focus on most of the time. Through the emotions that we decide to give voice to most of the time. And through our purposeful movements and considerate actions that we take most of the time. The more we practice peace, the more peaceful we become. And the more peaceful we become, the more peace we allow to come into the world through us. St. Francis de Sales, who was a 17th century bishop, and he was known for the peaceful way that he dealt with the religious divisions of his time. And he wrote, "Do everything quietly and in a calm spirit. Do not lose your inner peace for anything whatsoever, even if your whole world seems upset." Our whole world certainly seems upset right now, doesn't it? I mean, we all want to feel peaceful. But with everything that's going on, I mean, in politics, as a result of climate change, and with the fears and mandates of COVID, it's easy for us to lose our inner peace over just about anything. In fact, many of us are on our last coping nerve, and we're not even aware that we are. There are certain people in our life that we know well. And there are well-known people in life that we know of, that can trigger negative emotions in us that don't surprise us because, well, we expect to feel those specific emotions, which is actually why we continue to feel them. But these days, if we're not aware of how we're feeling within us, if we're not consciously monitoring how we're doing mentally and emotionally, then even the smallest thing can set us off. For example, the other day I was standing outside of Kroger's looking at their flowers, and a small car started honking its horn. Well, it wasn't really honking its horn. It was laying on its horn so that it was just one long, drawn-out sound, loud sound. And this went on for several minutes, and it got my attention because I wondered if someone had passed out over their steering wheel. But it turned out that another car had either gotten the parking spot that the honking car wanted or cut them off in the process of parking. But either way, the honking car had pulled up behind it and blocked it in and was serenading it with its horn. And since the honking car was also blocking the entire lane behind it, all the cars behind the honking car started honking too. It was really noisy. And then the honking car, because the other car was at the end of the aisle, decided to move and come up next to it. And as the car moved, I noticed that a tiny elderly lady was the driver. Her head was barely above the steering wheel. And she pulled up next to the offending car, and she began to honk, this time in staccato. And she was looking in the car, and she looked like she was looking for a fight, a physical one. And I thought to myself, I sure hope some big guy doesn't get out of that other car. And so the honking car stayed there for a while and honked and honked and then got no satisfaction because nothing seemed to happen. And so it drove off. And when it did, the driver of the offending car, also a tiny elderly woman, got out of the car and went into the market. Now, you'd expect to see both of these ladies at a church bake sale. I mean, I was pretty sure I'd have been able to pull them apart had they gone physical together. But the point is that it's vital for us to become aware of how we're doing mentally, how we're coping emotionally, so that a small thing doesn't become a big deal. Now, in California, when I was growing up, there was a fertilizer plant that had a huge pile of manure on its property. The pile was so big, it was known as Bandini Mountain, after the name of the fertilizer. And since the pile was easily visible from the freeway, it became famous. There was even a song written about going skiing on Bandini Mountain. And since it doesn't snow in Southern California, you know what that song was about. So, why am I telling you this? Because if we're not aware of how we're doing and feeling, if we don't take time to soothe ourselves with peaceful thoughts that allow us to feel calm within ourselves, then even the smallest molehill can become a Bandini Mountain, and we will find under our feet nothing we want to ski on and certainly nothing we want to fall into. Even in the midst of all that seems to be happening these days, whether it's happening in our individual life to ourselves or someone we love, whether it's happening in our country or in the world, we each have the capacity to stand at the center of our own peace. Lao Tzu said, "Make your heart like a lake with a calm, still surface and great depth of kindness." If we make inner peace our priority, if our intention is to do what we do with a calm spirit as often as we can, then if we find ourselves suddenly upset by the regulars, or by something else, because we've been practicing being aware of how we're doing mentally and emotionally, that sudden upset doesn't need to get any bigger or last any longer and turn our whole day into a pile of manure. We can take time right then and there to quiet the turbulence. We can begin with forgiving ourselves for losing it in the first place and to soothe ourselves with kind and loving thoughts so that we can return as soon as we can to being a peaceful being in the world. Before peace can manifest in this world, it must become present and active in our inner awareness and expressed through us as us. There's power in maintaining a peaceful inner life. There's power in consciously choosing which thoughts and emotions we want to dwell on. It's strong to stay calm, even when the whole world seems upset. In the book of Psalms, we read, "Let there be peace by your power and prosperity within your walls." Maintenance of inner peace requires diligence of mind and emotion. Otherwise, we may find ourselves burning with rage over the tiniest thing, like a wildfire that started by the smallest spark. We must decide to let peace begin with us through our power, and not someone else's. Otherwise, we give the world power over us. And if we do, then we'll find that we are stoking the flames of conflict and chaos in a world that we claim we want to live peacefully within. So why do we choose to procrastinate when peace is so urgently needed in the world? Well, usually it's because we're not ready to let it begin with us. We're not even convinced that it can begin with us, that's not where it begins. We want to see evidence of peace around us before we decide to be peaceful within us. We want someone to give in, give up, take responsibility, and say sorry. We measure the presence of peace not by how much peace we feel within us, but by how much we see around us. But peace, like everything else that appears in form and expression around us, does not begin outside of us. Everything we see begins with the vibration of the beliefs within us, and what we believe is often based on what we see before us. We don't look beyond the obvious to the unseen energies within us that are causing us to see what we see and the way we see it and to react to it. It's there. Which brings us to the title of today's talk, Behind the Scenes, S-E-E-N-S. Better late than never. In the book of Hebrews, we read, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What we see with our eyes isn't what causes things to appear the way they do for us. Things that appear to us begin with the unseen but not unfelt energy within us. We know what we're doing if we pay attention. I mean, if it weren't true that our energy, peaceful or angry, made a difference, then peace could never come to Earth and begin with us. But there's so much in this world that we don't see that we have substantial faith in, like gravity. I mean, we can see the results of gravity. We can often even feel gravity. But we can't see gravity with our physical eyes. Still, we have so much faith in gravity that we never worry that we're going to fly off the planet. And we wouldn't intentionally step off a high building or jump out of an airplane without a parachute if we wanted to continue to live. And we have faith in the unseen law of mathematics. I mean, we see the results of accurate and inaccurate calculations, and we know that, try as we might, no matter what we do, we will never be able to make 2 plus 2 add up to anything but 4. But we can't physically see the law that keeps mathematics true to what it is. And we can't see the spiritual, vibrational law of love that keeps us true to what we are. We are mostly non-physical, spiritual, vibrational beings, even while we're having this physical human experience. The biggest part of us, the most powerful part of us, can be felt and experienced within us, but it cannot be seen with a physical eye. We don't see energy, we feel it. We don't see thoughts, yet they emit a vibration that we feel emotionally, we feel within us, and often people around us feel the vibration and energy of our thoughts. And that vibration is always responded to by the spiritual vibrational universe in which we live. The Bible tells us, somewhere, just came to mind, don't have it written down, but that nothing that is hidden will remain hidden. There is nothing within that won't be exposed, but it begins within. It'll be revealed. And through the unseen law of attraction, we attract to us and around us what we think about most of the time. Our life is revealed without exactly as it vibrates within. It's the law of attraction that organizes the universe and keeps it true to what it is. Everything that becomes visible in the world has already been organized behind the scenes by the law of attraction in response to our individual and collective thoughts, the thoughts we emit. Tomorrow is already here. It's been organized behind the scenes. Every thought is a prayer that's answered in the moment that thought goes out. Answered prayer has nothing to do with lip service. It's not what we say. It has everything to do with what we believe life to be and who we believe we are in this life and where we think we're praying to. we must be able to clear our mind and open our heart as we pray. To clear our mind and open our hearts as we think. To soothe ourselves with thoughts that cause us to feel calm. Because there are so many in this world right now shouting, peace, 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 when there is no peace behind the shouting. In the book of Matthew, we read, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door. Go within yourself. Close your eyes. Don't look at the world. And pray to your Father who is in secret, in the spirit, unseen by the physical. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Thoughts are prayers that go out into the spiritual vibrational universe that sees the vibration and feels the energy and responds to it in the secret, unseen substance that is emitted. A prayer to make something fearful go away is filled with the substance of fear. It's based on what is already here and behind the scenes. That fearful substance is already creating more in the world for us to be afraid of. Tomorrow is already becoming. But a prayer of peace and love and joy that is based on faith in the divine presence behind the scenes creates more peaceful, loving, joyful things around us. For us to interact with. It brings in the peace. It brings in the love. It brings in the joy. Peace Pilgrim said, are you a slave to your self-centered nature? Or does your divine nature guide your life? Do you know that every moment of your life you're creating through thought? You create your own inner condition. You're helping create the conditions around you. It doesn't matter if we say or sing, let there be peace on earth. It doesn't matter if we talk about peace, and it doesn't matter if we march for peace, unless what we're doing behind the scenes for peace is being a peaceful being. We can do that quietly. We can do that alone. We can do that anywhere, anytime, no matter what. It doesn't matter how loud we shout it, it matters how deeply we feel it. The peaceful thoughts we hold in mind now. Faith that our unseen thoughts affect the world we see. That our unseen thoughts can be made manifest in this world. Is evidence of the presence of peace on earth. Tomorrow is already here. Peace is already becoming. We are the evidence of the things not seen yet. We carry with us the powerful substance of peace that is hoped for around us. And in this way, and only in this way, as we become the peace we want to see, can we let peace begin with us? Namaste.